الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue discussing the principles with regards to al-khiyar that the buyer and seller their circumstances that they will have the option to nullify the contract or to continue. We have seen that this is from seven different aspects, from them khiyar al-majlis, and from them khiyar al-sharat, and from them khiyar al-ghabn. This is what we were discussing in our previous class, khiyar al-ghabn. We've seen that al-ghabn means al-ghalaba. Al-ghalaba is to get over on someone, to overpower them. So what is intended here is that a person, he will purchase something from someone who had raised the price over the normal or the average price for that particular item or that which it deserves. He will raise it higher than that which is known normally. And the person who purchases that, he will purchase that unknowingly. And later he will find out that he had been taken advantage of, and that person had got over on him and charged him more than the average price, or more than it deserves, more than that item deserves. So therefore he'll have the right to go back and to nullify the contract if he can establish that, and to get his money back. And we have seen some issues related to this affair. After this, we continue the fourth aspect of al-khiyar, khiyar al-tadlis. Khiyar al-tadlis is the option which is because of deception. Al-tadlis, any meaning, is meaning deception. Deception, someone will deceive another or trick him and cause him to believe that the item costs more than it does, or that it has qualities that it does not have, so on and so forth. So he will deceive him and trick him. And at tadlis is from al-dulsa. Al-dulsa. And al-dulsa yani al-dhulma. Al-dhulma. So something, he will deceive him and he will take advantage of him, and he will make it appear as if the item costs, is worth more than it does. It's worth more than it really does. It's come in al-fiqh al-muyassir. They mention وَهُوَ أَنْ يُدَلِّسَ الْبَائِعُ وَهُوَ أَنْ يُدَلِّسَ الْبَائِعُ عَلَى الْمُشْتَرِي مَا يَزِيدُ بِهِ الثَّمَنُ وَهَذَا الْفِعْلُ مُحَرَّمٌ لِقَوْلِهِ وَهَذَا الْفِعْلُ مُحَرَّمٌ لِقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. They mention that khiyar al-tadlis, the option that one he has because of deception, meaning the option to nullify the contract and to return the item and get his money back. This is whenever the seller, he will sell something to the buyer, and he will deceive him and trick him and make him think that the item costs more, or is worth more than it really is. And this is forbidden and not allowed based upon the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من غشنا فليس منا. من غشنا فليس منا. Whoever deceives us, then he's not from us. This is narrated by Al-Imam Muslim. From the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. من غشنا فليس منا. Whoever deceives us, whoever tricks us, he's not from us. So therefore, it's not allowed. They mention an example of a vehicle that has many interior problems. Maybe it has a number of issues with regards to the engine or the transmission or the fuel pump or so on and so forth. Or maybe it has electrical problems. For example, things that are not seen apparently. And the individual, he will paint it, and he will make some outward adjustments to it to make it seem like it's new, seem like it's good, and seem like the quality is of good standard. But in reality, if you look deeper, you will find that it has a number of hidden defects and faults and problems with the vehicle. So the seller, he will hide these defects by making the vehicle look nice, taking care of it and cleaning it, making some additions to it outwardly, so on and so forth, and then hide those hidden defects and sell it for their price as if they are not present. And then the one who purchased it, he will find this out later. And after being deceived, taken advantage of, so he will have the khiyar. he will have the khiyar, he has the option to take it back and to nullify that contract and to return the item and get his money back. And get his money back, because it's not allowed to trick or deceive people. It's not allowed to trick or deceive people, to take advantage of people and to take their wealth unlawfully. And to take their wealth unlawfully. To take their wealth unlawfully. Also included in this as well, the people of Nar, as they mentioned, whatever a person, he will sell an item that is counterfeit. He will sell an item and he will have, for example, a very famous or high quality brand name. Brand name, and it will be fabricated. It will not be the real item. It will not be the real item. It will be a knockoff brand. And it will appear authentic. It will appear authentic, and he will sell it as if it's authentic, at the price of the authentic item, in this manner. But in reality, it's not authentic. It's a knockoff brand. It's a fake brand. So this one likewise, if he finds out later that this was a deception and he was taken advantage of, then he will have the right to nullify the contract and to return the item and get his money back. And to get his money back. There are a number of evidences for this in the narrations that we will take bi'idhnillahi ta'ala in the work Umdat al-Ahkam. From them is a famous narration referred to previously known as Hadith al-Tasriyah. Or Masalatu al-Tasriyah. Or Hadith al-Shat al-Musarrat. And this is the sheep or the goat that they will tie the udder until the milk will gather in the udder, and it will appear as if the animal is healthy, full of milk, and as a strong milk producing animal, and they will sell it based upon that. And when he'll purchase it, and he with this in mind, and he's hoping for this benefit, then he'll milk the animal 1 day or 2 days or 3 days, and that's it, and it's finished. And then after that, it doesn't produce milk except for rarity. So initially, the animal is not a good milk-producing animal. And they had tied up the udders in order for the milk to gather over a period to appear that if it is, to appear as if it is. So there's narrations with regards to this, and the person, he has the right to return it, as is in this narration. We take the narration later. But this is the fundamental with regards to this. The people of Nar, as they mentioned, similar like this as well. Not in the aspect of buying and selling, but in the issue of marriage. For example, if there's an old man and he's got lots of gray hair, for example, then he will dye his hair black, and he's jet black, dark black, like he's a young man again, and he will get married based upon this. This is all type of tadlis and deception. He's not young, he's very old. He's not young, he's very old. And we know it's not lawful to make the dye with the black, and this is from that reason. He can dye his hair. And if he has white hair from old age, he can dye his hair, but not with black. Not with black, to where it will be a means of deception or trickery. So in any case, this is called khiyar al-tadlis. The previous one was called khiyar al-ghabn. So in both cases, a person was taken advantage of. But in the previous one, it was with regards to the price. In the previous issue, khiyar al-ghabn, this is with regards to the price. Somebody took advantage of him that he does not know the market value, so he raised it on him. He raised it on him in this manner, taking advantage of him and harming him. So this is not lawful. He has the option. And likewise, if someone were to take advantage with regards to the item itself, they were to deceive or to trick someone. With the item, describe it in a particular manner, and it doesn't come out that way, or it's contrary to that, or he makes it appear, he'll describe it in a particular manner, making it appear as if it's in a certain condition, so on and so forth. In reality, it's not like that. Or it has defects or problems or issues related to the item, and he will hide them. And he will hide them and not reveal them. So this is called khiyar al-tadlis. If he's exposed in this affair, then the purchaser, he has the option. He has the option to return it. And this is from his right, alhamdulillah. He'll return it and he will get the money back in entirety. The fifth aspect of al-khiyar, the people of Nar, as I mentioned, khiyar al-ayb. This is with regards to the option when he has because of a defect that is found in the item. And he will find out that it has a defect in it later. As for these issues here, if a person, he was aware of these affairs, and he purchased the item upon knowledge, knowing that it's higher than normal, or knowing that it has a defect, or knowing about the problems and the likes like this, and he purchases it while he knows he does not have the option. This is for the one who was taken advantage of, or this affair was unknown at the time of the sale. At the time of the sale. So here we have khiyaru al-aib. Khiyaru al-aib. Likewise in al-fiqh al-muyassar, they mention, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَثْبُتُ لِلْمُشْتَرِي إِذَا وَجَدَ عَيْبًا وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَثْبُتُ لِلْمُشْتَرِي إِذَا وَجَدَ عَيْبًا فِي السِّرْعَةِ لَمْ يُخْبِرُهُ بِهِ الْبَاعِ أَوْ لَمْ يَعْلَمْ الْبَاعِ بِهِ. They mentioned that khiyar al-aib, this is the option one has whenever he finds a defect in the item that he has purchased. This is whenever it will be established for the purchaser that he has the right to return the item and get his money back if he finds a defect in the item that the seller did not inform him of, or that the seller did not know about himself. So if he knew about it, then he's concealing it. And he's concealing it. This would be likewise under the issue of a tadris. If he knew about it and then he concealed it and did not inform him, this is from the issue of a tadris. But even if he didn't know, even if he didn't deceive him or trick him, but come to find out there's a defect in that affair, come to find out there's a defect or a problem with the item, he still has the right to return it. So this is called khiyaru al-aib. Khiyaru al-aib. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned likewise, any of this particular aib, tanqusu bisababi hadha al-aib qimatu as-sil'ah. Any of this particular defect, because of it, the value of the item decreases. Because of it, the value of the item decreases. An indication that not every defect would be considered. This is going to go back to the people of knowledge. And they say, وَيُرْجَعُ فِي مَعْرِفَةِ ذَلِكِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْخِبْرَةِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْخِبْرَةِ مِنَ التُّجَارِ الْمُعْتَبَرِينَ فَمَعَدُّوهُ عَيْبًا ثَبَتَ بِهِ الْخِيَارُ وَإِلَّا فَلَا. So if there is a dispute about this affair, then they will return back to the people of experience, knowledge and experience in this particular item, and they will ask them, any from those businessmen who are reliable in this affair, and if they consider it to be a defect, then it will be returned. And if they do not consider it to be a defect, then he will not have that right. He will not have that right. So in any case, this is about a defect being found in the item after purchase, that the purchaser, he has the right to return it, to get his money back because of that defect. And that's the case whenever the defect will decrease the value of the item any lesser than what he had paid. Lesser than what he had paid. For example, if there's a vehicle, and if in normal condition of this particular vehicle, this particular model, it goes for $10,000. But if it has some problems, for example, electrical problems or some transmission problems or some gasket problems, the price will be less. Maybe with these issues here, it will be $8,000 or lower. So if he finds out later that the vehicle has these problems after he paid the price, as if it didn't, then he has the right. He has the right to get his money back because this is oppression. So he'll return back to the people who have experience in this affair. He will return back to the people who have knowledge and experience in this particular issue to discuss about the value of the item with the defect and without the defect. And what are the actual defects that were hidden or unknown, and how much will be the cost, yani, in the difference, so on and so forth. So it's not allowed to intentionally hide any defects in the items. Rather, these affairs, they must be clarified. And a person, he must be honest and truthful and have integrity in his dealings. And if he knows of any defects, he has to inform the person who's going to purchase them up hand and be clear about this affair. This is being corrected by Ibn Majah and likewise at Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, المسلم أخو المسلم لا يحل لمسلم باع من أخيه شيئا فيه عيب إلا بينه له إلا بينه له. المسلم أخو المسلم لا يحل لمسلم باع من أخيه شيئا فيه عيب إلا بينه له إلا بينه له. Then the Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. The Muslim is the brother to the Muslim. It's not allowed for a Muslim. It's not allowed for a Muslim who sold his brother something that has a defect in it. It's not allowed for a Muslim to sell his brother something that has a defect in it, except that he clarifies that for him. Except that he clarifies that for him. So this is a clear evidence from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, from the first narrations in Umdat al-Ahkam, the hadith of Hakim ibn Hizam radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, al-bayyani bil-khiyar ma lam yatafarraqa. This narration has been repeated with us in this chapter and other chapters likewise. Al-bayyani bil-khiyar ma lam yatafarraqa. That the buyer and the seller, they have the option so long as they do not separate. We discussed this in our previous class. And then he mentioned sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fa'in sadaqa wa bayyana burika lahuma fi bay'ihima. And if they both tell the truth, they're honest, and they clarify the affairs of the items in the contract, then their contract will have great blessing in it. Burika lahuma fi bay'ihima. Then they will have great blessing in their transaction. In katama wa kadhaba muhiqat barakatu bay'ihima. Muhiqat barakatu bay'ihima. But if they conceal and they lie, they're dishonest, then the blessing of their transaction will be stripped from them. Then the blessing of their transaction will be stripped from them. So it's an obligation to be truthful and to be honest and to clarify all of the problems or issues that are related to the item for sale. Likewise, if he's selling something for something else, another item, all of these affairs, they must be clarified. Any issues related to the contract that would have a relationship to the right of the other in this contract, these issues, they must be made known. And these issues, they must be clarified. And in this manner, a person, he will have blessing in his dealings. And Allah will cause the transactions to bring about goodness, and to have goodness. And from the favor of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But if they're deceptive, and if they conceal these affairs, hoping for a dollar, and being trickery, and using deception, and that they lie and are dishonest, then that blessing will be stripped from their dealings. Anyone, he may ask, well, what if one of them is honest and the other is deceptive, and the other one uses deception? Will the blessing be stripped from both of them? Wallahu alam, it will be stripped from the one who was using deception and trickery, and not from the one who was honest. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ أُخْرَىٰ. And a person, he will not bear the sin of another. So the blessing, if it's stripped from someone's transaction or their wealth, doesn't necessarily mean that he will not have wealth or that it will not gain profit, but the blessing will be stripped from that, and he will not be able to benefit from it in a manner proper. He will not be blessed to use it in a manner pleasing to Allah, or will be eaten up all at one time, or will go to waste, or the likes like this, or so on and so forth. Maybe he'll make a lot of wealth, but before he can actually benefit from it, he'll be eaten up from calamities that will befall him, or trials that will come suddenly out of nowhere that will take any lots of his wealth to take care of, or maybe someone will steal it, or something will happen to the wealth, or he will use it in that which will earn his destruction and the anger of his Lord. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. All of this is from having the blessing of Allah stripped from one's wealth and one's dealings and transactions. This narration is in Bukhari and Muslim. So it's very clear that the defect, it must be known at the time of the contract. If the purchaser, he is aware of the defects at the time of the contract, and he purchases the item based upon that knowledge, and they have an agreement upon that, he doesn't have the right now. He doesn't have the right now of khiyar al-aib. He doesn't have the right of khiyar al-aib. We understand that? If he knows about the buyer, the seller, he clarifies this vehicle, it has this issue and this issue and this issue. And as far as that's all I know. And then he says, okay, how much is it? And they agree on the price based upon this information. Then he buys it along with that knowledge. He doesn't have the right later to be like, oh, it has a problem with it. So, well, I told you it has a problem with it. And you agreed to purchase it. You understand? So if you tell him, for example, that it has a transmission problem, I'm going to sell it for this much, so I'll take it anyways. Then he drives it out the lot and the transmission drops. Right then. You can't say, oh, I'll give it back.
parts, and you purchase it, and I told you the transmission is not good. You're going to have to replace that part. And if you purchase it anyways based upon that knowledge, so now he doesn't have khiyar al-ayb. You understand? So this is based upon one's knowledge. If he knows about it and he chooses to advance upon that contract upon knowledge, then this option does not is not applied to him. This option is not applied to him. Wallahu a'lam. So if it's established that there was an ayb, there was a defect, then now they have to determine how they're going to take care of this affair. He has the right to either return the item and get his money back in entirety. He has the right to return the item and get his money back in entirety. And he has the right to look and ask the people of knowledge and experience with this particular issue, the price of this particular item with these defects. And how much is the difference? And from this price, whenever it's good, according to the price that he paid, and the price with the defects. With the defects. So the defects want to bring the price down some. So then they will find out this price, the original price, and then the price that it's worth with these defects and problems that it has, and the difference will be given back to the one who bought it. The one who bought it, to the buyer. And this money here that's given back is called the arsh. Al-arsh with the hamza. So he has the right to return the item and get his money back, or he has the right to ask for the arsh. He has the right to ask for the arsh. The arsh is the amount of the difference of the item, whatever is proper and sound, from the defects that are found in it. From the defects that are found in it. You understand that? The people of Allah, as they say, الأرش هو الفرق بين قيمة السلعة السليمة وقيمتها معيبة. It's the difference between the price or the value. The difference between the value of the item, whenever it's sound, from the value of the item, whenever it has a fault or defect in it. So that difference there, this will be given back to the purchaser if he chooses to go for the arsh. If he chooses to go for the arsh, meaning if he chooses to keep the item with the problem that it has, then he will have the right to get the arsh. Then he'll have the right to get the arsh. What if someone here were to say, for example, that he's going to sell the item with the condition that he's free and innocent from any defects?
As is.
I said it to you as is, like this. Huh? بشرط البراءة من العيوب. بشرط البراءة من العيوب. So I'm going to sell you this this vehicle with the just as it is. No. You get it how you buy it. You get it how you buy it. Is this permissible?
If they agree to it.
If he knows that the item is worthless.
Who?
The one who sells it.
The seller. If he knows that it has problems in it, and then he says that and hides them, then would this condition benefit him? You understand? We have an item for sale, a vehicle for sale. The seller, he says, but sold as is. No return. Sold as is, no return. And in reality, the item, it has a fault in it. It has a fault, and he knows about it. And he hides it. Would it benefit him? The condition. He would say, whenever he comes in, but it has a defect in it. He said, but I gave you the condition, I said, buy as is, no return. No. This will not benefit him here. Why? Because he's using trickery and deception. من غشنا فليس منا. Man ghashana faraysa minna. It's not allowed for him to trick or to deceive. So here he's tricking the person, deceiving. So if the buyer, he knows about it, it's not allowed for him to do that. It's not allowed for him to do that. And setting a condition like this will not benefit him. Will not benefit him. The first one we discussed was with what? With the seller. So if he knows about it and he conceals it, then the condition will not benefit. But if the person who's buying it, he knows about it, and he buys it instead, and he buys it anyways. Then he says it has this. It's got a transmission problem. It's got an oil leak, and it's got a flat tire. Buy as is, no return. Right now, and he bought it like that, and he agreed to that. And then this one, he has that right. And then this one, he has that right. You understand? No. So this is the case here. So the one who says, I'm going to sell it as is, if he knows that there's a defect in it, this will not benefit him. But if the person who's buying it, he knows all of the affairs, and he buys it upon knowledge, then it will stand as it is. It will stand as it is. المسلمون على شروطهم. المسلمون على شروطهم. The Muslims, they must abide by their conditions. So if somebody told him that there's a problem with it, and it costs this much money, buy as is, there's no option to return, and he said, okay, let's do it, and he paid for it, then now it's his, and he can't return it. Because they agreed upon that. They agreed upon that. So the issue of the aib is going to go back to whenever he does not know about it, or whenever the issue was concealed. Whenever the issue was concealed. Was concealed. So these are some of the issues related to bay khiyar al-aib. Khiyar al-aib. Also the same thing, and this one is whenever he says the bisharat al-bara'a min al-ayub. I'm going to sell it, but I'm free from any faults. I'm not held accountable, I'm not liable for any faults. This is the one that we just discussed. The second one is al-bala'a al-muba'a la turaddu wa la tustabdal. This is the one that the brother is mentioning. The item is not returned, no return. A no return policy. A no return policy. So similar like that, likewise, if the purchaser, he knows about the issue and he buys it upon knowledge, then he's not allowed to return it. He's not allowed to return it. And likewise, if the person who's selling it, he knows about the defect or the fault, and then he says no return, and he says no return, this will not benefit him. This will not benefit him. If he knows about it and then he did not inform them, then this will not benefit. This will not benefit. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the khiyar al-aib, this one is lasting. And if you find it right away, or if he finds it next week, and there's no set limit. If there's a problem that was in the item from the time that he purchased it, that was unknown, he has the right. It's not like a set period in the lights like this. If the problem was a defect in the item, whether he found it one day later or a month later, this is all the same. This is all the same. This is all the same. Some items you might not find out that it has a problem until later. Especially some people who have knowledge of these affairs. Maybe he knows that there's a leak and he knows how to fix it for a period. But eventually that fix is going to give out. It's going to give out. And he can fix it. It's going to maybe go maybe 50 miles or 100 miles or maybe 200 miles or even more. But eventually he knows that this particular job that he done is not going to last. It's going to give out. It's going to give out. So when it gives out, he will find out that it had a problem. So he will still have the option of return. He will still have the option of return. Number six, خيار الخلف في الصفة. خيار الخلف في الصفة. This is whenever there is an option because of the description of the item not matching that which was described. Not matching that which was described. So this is whenever there is a description of an item that's not present, or the description of the item is present, but it's from something that can't be seen. From something that can't be seen, like we've been discussing, maybe some hidden aspect. So to rely upon the description of something is whenever the item is not present and cannot be seen. Then it will be described, as we have discussed before. Or if it's something that's hidden, it's described to be a new model, a vehicle, or all the parts are original parts, so on and so forth. And then actually inside there are aftermarket parts. They're aftermarket parts, for example. So this is something that's hidden that is based upon description. So as for if it was something that's seen, he has the item in front of him and he sees it, then you don't rely on the description. You don't need a description. Now, somebody said, for example, I'll sell you an iPhone, is the iPhone model. Model 13, for example, and you have it in your hand, and it's model 12, right? And you know it, and you see it. It says model 12, right? On the sticker it says model 13, but you open up, it says model 12. You can see it right there. It's very clear. It's very clear. So now that description on the side, this doesn't count, because you know what you're working with. You know what you're working with. So you wouldn't say, oh, I want to turn it back. I want to return it now because it's not the one I thought. No, he knew what it was. You understand the point? So this problem or this contradiction in the description of the item, this is whenever the item is unknown and it's described, and the person, he relied on that description and come to find out it does not match. It does not match. For example, he bought something from someone. He told him it was an iPhone 13, and he described it for him. And then whenever it came, whenever he got it in his hand, it came in the mail, or he delivered it to him, so on and so forth. He got it in his 12. He got it in his 12. This is now, the description is contrary to what he purchased. The description is contrary to what he purchased. You understand? So now he has the right to return it, based upon that, because the item did not come to him in the manner described. The item did not come to him in the manner described. In the manner described. So this is the case whenever the item is contrary to its description, but it's lower than described. It's lower than described. Then you have the choice. But for example, if somebody thought he's buying an iPhone 12, he's buying iPhone 12, and when he gets it, it's a 14. He bought the iPhone 12. It's the description of iPhone 12, such and such and such and such. And whenever he gets it, it's iPhone 14. And does he have the khiyar? A lot of the people of knowledge, they say he doesn't have the khiyar because he got something better. The only time he would have the khiyar is if that individual had a particular intent with that model. With that model, and he had a particular usage for that model that he will lose out on if he gets a model higher. Maybe he has a need for that one specifically, some of its functions, or some other special benefit that he needs from that model, not from other models. So now he will have the right. But initially, if he, for example, bought a item, and it says that, for example, it's used, and he gets one brand new. He can't be like, no, I have to turn it back, I want the used one. Right? The option doesn't stand for him because the description is contrary to what that which was described to him, but it's better. But it's better. So here it doesn't apply, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. Unless it's in that certain circumstance, whenever that individual, he needs the one that's lower, the lower quality one for a benefit that he needs specifically. And immediately he's taking a loss now. He's taking a loss now. The seventh and the last one, Al-Khulfu fi qadri al-thamin. Al-Khulfu fi qadri al-thamin. Yani when they say Al-Khulf here, Al-Khulf yani al-ikhtilaf. Al-Khulf yani al-ikhtilaf. Al-ikhtilaf fi sifa. Or ikhtilaf fi qadr al-thamin. Here the number seven is khiyar al-Khulf yani al-ikhtilaf fi qadri al-thamin. This is whenever there's a difference opinion. There's a dispute between the buyer and the seller, with regards to the price. The person who is buying it, for example, who say, we agreed that it's $80, and the buyer, he said, no, we agreed that it's $100. We agreed that it's $100, and he purchased something and he had to pay him later. Then when he comes to pay him, for example, he says, here's your $80. He said, no, the item was $100. Our contract was $100. He said, no, it was $80. We agreed $80. And then they have a dispute. What do they do? How do we handle this? How do we take care of this? And the people of knowledge, they differ with regards to this, but there are some narrations. There's a number of narrations, actually, and there are differences of opinion about this. But Allah knows best. It's going to go back to the right of the seller. The seller will swear by Allah that this is how much, and then it will be required to go by that price. And if he wants to continue, the buyer wants to continue, he'll continue upon that price, and if not, he will return the item, and the contract will be nullified. It's been collected by Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i, Imam Ahmed, and others from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. This narration has come with a number of different wordings. The people of knowledge have declared the narration to be authentic. إذا اختلف البيعان وليس بينهما بينة فهو ما يقول رب السلعة أو يتتاركان. That if the buyer and the seller, they differ, meaning about the price of the item, and they don't have any بينة between them, neither one of them has a proof. You can say, I got the receipt right here, here's the receipt. Right? If he had a proof, this is how much we paid for, or there's a contract that they had, that's different. We're not talking about that. If there's no bayina, if there's no proof, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the word is the word of the owner of the item, The word is the word of the owner of item, or else they're going to leave the item, and, you know, or they're going to nullify the contract, or else they're going to nullify the contract. فَالْقَوْلُ قَوْلُ الْبَاعِعِ وَإِنْ رَضِيَ الْمُشْتَرِي وَإِلَّا فَيُفْسَخُ الْعَقْدِ. So the one who we take his statement here is the owner of the item, and if they agree on that afterwards, then they will continue in the contract, and if they still continue to dispute, then they will notify the contract. Some of the people of knowledge added along with that he will be made to swear. He'll be made to swear, the buyer. He'll say, Wallahi, I sold it to you for 100. After that, that's finished. After that, it's finished. You want to go, you want to pay the 100, pay the 100. If he doesn't want to pay, then the contract will be nullified. Will be nullified. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-bayyinatu al-muddai. وَالْيَمِينُ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرَ. The buyer, he's claiming that he bought it for this much, and he contrary to what the owner, he claimed. So he's making this claim and he has no proof. He's making a claim and he has no proof. So how do we deal with this? The one who the claim is against him, he will swear by Allah, and that's it. And it's finalized and finished. You understand? It's finalized and finished. So if he's lying, he's lying. That's between him and Allah. And if he's telling the truth, Alhamdulillah, Jazakallahu Khair. You understand? But this is from the ways of dealing with the affairs. Whenever we have disputes amongst each other and there's no proof or evidence in disputes and these contracts or dealings and so on and so forth, then no one has a proof. Somebody claims something against someone else. He did this or he did that, or he owes me this or he owes me that, so on and so forth, and he has no evidence or no proof, then the claimant, the proof is upon the claimant, and if not, then the one who the claim is against, he'll be told to swear. Swear. Swear you didn't do it. Swear it's not your money. Or swear he owes you this. Or swear you don't owe him that. Like that. And then if he swears, then it's settled in the deen of Allah. You understand? That's how we deal with it. And the one who, if the person knows he's lying, he's swearing by Allah and he's lying, he knows he's lying, what can he do? Huh? The yamin al-ghamus. Yeah, but he can't do anything. He has to accept. This is the decree of Allah. This is the command of Allah. In this situation, this is how you finalize it. The dispute is finished. He knows you swore by Allah and you lied. That's on him. That's on him. He can't, you know, go. There's no going further. This is how you finalize it. You finalize it like this. You understand? So why not keep going. Rather, in the deen of Allah is set. And then affairs will be held account. Then the justice will be set. If he's lying, justice will be set. And in the hereafter, he'll have his right on the day of judgment. Unless he takes his right in this life, by making dua against him, or doing this to him, or that to him, so on and so forth. You understand? So this is an important point with regards to disputes. With regards to disputes, we have to accept the rule of Allah Azza wa Jalla. From that, is al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i wal-yameenu ala man ankara. Al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i wal-yameen ala man ankara. That the burden of proof is upon the claimant, and the oath is upon the one who denies that. The oath will be upon the one who denies that. Meaning, if the claimant does not bring a proof, he makes a claim against someone without any proof, then the person, he will be made to swear. He'll be made to swear. There's nothing else you can do. What else can you do? He owes me $100. Where's the proof? I don't know. Right? I had no proof. So how are we gonna solve that? So I said, man, he owes me $100. He says, no, I don't owe him $100. I said, man, he owes me $100. He's not all $100. I said, what, you got any proof? He owes you $100. You got any witness? You have any receipt? You have? I don't got nothing. Just my claim. You understand? Just my claim. So then what do we do? Tell him to swear. Swear he don't owe you nothing. He said, wallahi, I don't owe him nothing. He said, wallahi, you're lying. You know he's lying. He knows he's lying. But this is how it's solved and it's finished. Because you have no proof. You have no proof. This is the end of the narration. بَيِّنَاتُ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِي وَالْيَمِينُ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرُ. What's the first of the narration? لَوْ يُعْطَى النَّاسُ بِدَعْوَاهُمْ لَدَّعَ رِجَالٌ أَمْوَالَ قَوْمٍ وَدِمَاءَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ الْبَيِّنَاتُ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِي وَالْيَمِينُ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرُ. That's the narration of Al-Bayhaqi رحمه الله تعالى. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that if the people were left to their claims, then individuals, they would claim the wealth and the blood of others unrightfully. But rather, the burden of proof is upon the claimant, And the obligation to swear is upon the one who denies. And if it's just up to claims, well you owe me $100 and he owes me $100 and I think you owe me $50 and he did this to me and he did that to me, oh, and he took my house, that's my car. People will just start claiming left and right if you're just going to give something because of your claim. So it's not left up to claims. Rather, the burden of proof is upon the claimant, as upon the claimant, and the one who denies that when there's no proof must take an oath.
With that, alhamdulillah, we have completed what we had gathered for our introduction before reading the narrations in Umdat al-Ahkam. Inshallah, in our class to come, we'll begin the first narrations, the first two narrations, the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar and the narration of Hakim ibn Hizam, radiallahu anhum. As for now, we can take any comments or corrections or questions while we're waiting for the iqamah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.